Thanks for listening to Schlereth than Evans On Demand, brought to you by Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. If you're in the market for replacement windows, there's only one place to turn. That's Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. Visit them online at windowsforyourhome.com.
Are you ready?
Let's clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
It's gone from suck to blow.
What?
You know, one of the things I love about baseball, I always told my son this. I love it because it's not football. I love the casual approach sometimes. I like to go to BP, watch them taking ground balls. I like to watch them work on the field, Mike. You know, one of the things that bothers me about baseball is that it's not football. It's the, hey, there's plenty of time. It's a marathon, not a sprint. No need to panic. We're going to be okay. Guys will figure it out. And you can just kind of casually lull yourself into this, it's going to be okay attitude till you're out of it. You're 10 games out and you're like, uh-oh, what happened to the season? And here's what I love about today. Today is about as close to a must win as you're going to have in baseball, especially at this point of the season. What is it, July 11th or 12th or something like that?
Almost the middle of July, July 12th.
The middle-ish of July.
That doesn't have the same ring as middle-ish of June, but go ahead.
It doesn't. But this is about as close as you get to one of those must-win situations. The Colorado Rockies find themselves split with the Arizona Diamondbacks after a 19-2 drubbing. And I'm telling you what, you got your ace on the bump. You've got him reeling a little bit. You're, what, 3.5 games out of first place? It is time. You've got to set your standard. You've got to win this series. You've got another series with Seattle. They're coming to town before the All-Star break. You have to set yourself up within striking distance so that you can make some moves, so that you can feel good about where you're at. This, to me, is one of those, man, if you win this, it sets you up for the next series, and it sets you up for the time after the All-Star break. You lose this, and you're right back to questioning where you're at. I love it. Like, I love the fact that this, to me, has a football feel. This is a team that's 4-4, and this next win either sets you up to make a playoff push or gets you reeling to find yourself watching the playoffs with the rest of us. That's how I feel about this game right now. And it's as close to a must win as you can get in baseball in July. And that's why I'm just excited about this game. Kyle Freeland, go lead the charge. Go get your cleats or go get your spikes or what is it? The spikes on the mound, right on the bump. Yeah. Okay. Kyle, let me rewind that for me real quick, Ben, will you? I'm excited about
Kyle.
One more time. Okay, I, for one, am excited about the ace, Kyle Freeland, taking the bump. It's time. Go out there, deal, do your thing, lead your team, get your spice on the bump.
That was awesome.
Clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
Yeah, finish strong.
Yikes.
Smooth.
Just, delete all that. Yeah. But all just like that, I couldn't turn away.
Yeah. All
I was mesmerized.
Mistakes, just clear those up when you send that down the line, will you?
You are right, though. And the whole...
But doesn't that feel good, right? There's a football mentality to this town. And I know that we always get, oh, you can't have that for 162 games. I understand that. But it feels good to me when you have these moments.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You gotta have some of them, I think.
Well, like, last night's game is one that every team is going to have a couple of during the course of the season, where they just on the wrong end or the right end of a game that is over by the fourth inning. And it's just, everybody gets it, everybody understands, alright, we'll come out, we'll do it again tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we'll just get through this one, and then it's on to the next one. There's a number of games like that during the course of the season. And that's why, no matter how good of a team you are, you're going to win 100 games, you're going to lose 60. You're going to lose 100, you'll win 60. I mean, that's what it is. So what truly defines the best from the also-rans are those 40 or so games that will determine what you are. And to me, today is one of those games. Because as much as you say, oh, you can't attach a bunch of significance to a game in July, yes, you can, because you've got a rubber game of a series. So whoever wins it ends up gaining a game. And if you're the Rockies and you've had such difficulty against Arizona, 1-5 against them this season coming into the series, having lost 9 in a row at home, and you're going to be playing them a bunch of times the rest of the way, at some point you have got to send a statement that you can beat this team.
Right.
And when you're trying to climb up through the National League West and you got teams to jump over and you know the teams in this division are going to be knocking each other off throughout the course of the season, when you've got one of those teams in your house, winner take all, win the series, and you got a guy like Freeland on the mound, you have to win that game. It's a two-game swing.
Mm-hmm.
You go from being 2.5 behind Arizona to being 4.5 behind Arizona. So it's those little things that, you know, people sometimes want to dismiss as, you can't put too much significance in it because it's a long season.
Right.
But these are the kind of moments that when you look back on a season, especially if you've missed the playoffs by only a couple games, you point to games like this.
Right. You do. It happens all the time. And there's always these games during the course of a season that become catalytic events. And you look back at the end of the season and say, that's the game where we learned that regardless of who's on the bump or regardless of what the situation is, we can match up with that team. There's always that, like, I always point to, and anybody who played at that time with the Broncos points to that Jacksonville loss as the catalytic event that led us to back-to-back world championships. There's no way you could have been around at that time and played in that game and not understood the significance of that game and the way it drove us for the next couple of years. And so there's going to be games during the course of the season. And, you know, we always look back in baseball. We look back and go, well, that was a game that da da da. But I think you can look forward and say, this is a game, guys, that is, you know, is pivotal moving forward in our season. This is a game today where we have got to go out and perform.
And you got Kyle Freeland pitching. And you know what? He's rapidly, for me, becoming a guy that
he's fun to watch.
I want him on the mound. Mm-hmm. I think he embraces these kind of moments. And boy, are we learning the idea, the value of if there's a stud pitcher in Colorado coming up through the ranks, high school, whatever, Rockies need to find a way to make sure that they draft that kid. Just because they can handle it.
Yeah.
They can handle it. They can handle pitching here. You know, they want to be there. They want to be out there. They want the moment. They want the ball. They're not freaked out by, oh, my God, I'm pitching at Coors Field. All right, clear the air. There you go. Coming up next, are Bronco fans ready to lower their expectations? Doesn't sound good, but maybe it is a good thing. We'll tell you why next. I don't know about yesterday, talking to friends and folks. A lot of conversation coming up about the Broncos. People hearing our conversation yesterday about where are the expectations? And we got into a conversation about Case Keenum, and one salty texter was like, whoa, why is it whenever you talk about Case Keenum, you only talk about what he does or did for Minnesota during the regular season? Why don't you mention how bad he was in the NFC Championship game? To which my response was, look, if you can tell me right now that Case Keenum leads the Denver Broncos to the AFC Championship game this year and they lose 38-7, sign me up.
Right. He gets us all the way to the AFC Championship, helps us there, and has a bad game in the AFC Championship. I'm in.
Who cares, right? And I had a lot of people who came up to me yesterday in conversation and said, I agree with you. I'll take that. And I think it speaks, Mark, to an understanding, and give Bronco fans credit for this, is that, look, the goal is always to win the Super Bowl. But you got to be realistic about where you're coming from, where you're at, where you need to go. And to just say, well, it's Super Bowl or bust this year, and anything less than a Super Bowl is a disappointment, I just think you're being short-sighted. You're just not being realistic, and you're setting yourself up to not really be able to enjoy the season. I think more people are looking at and saying, hey, if they can make the playoffs, whatever happens after that is gravy.
Good.
What was more disappointing last year? The fact that the Broncos were 5-11 or the fact that they were 5-11 and weren't competitive? Like, I'll take 5-11 last year if you're in every game. And you just don't quite have the players to get over the top. But 5-11, when you just get thunder punched, and it feels like your team rolled over, like, that's what's unacceptable. If you're in every game, and, you know, it's tooth and nail, and you lose a bunch of close ones, it's understandable. But when you get pile driven by the Dolphins, you know,
during that 8-game losing streak, here are the losses, the margin of defeat. Mm-hmm. Good music choice.
Mm-hmm.
13, 21, 10, 28, 35.
Ow.
26.
Oof. Talking about Guama pain right there.
Guama!
Guama!
Now, there were a 3-point loss and a 7-point loss in there, but other than that, 6 of the 8 losses were by 10 points or more.
Guama! Guama, Guama.
We'll have to tell the Guama story again someday.
You gonna go see those guys this weekend.
Oh, you get your boys' weekend this weekend?
Yeah.
I got mine next weekend.
Do you?
Yeah. Treehouse gang.
I was going to call you guys the Sugar Hill gang. I said a hip, a hop, a hip, a hip.
No, we're not going to go down that road.
No.
You're not going to start white man rapping. Yeah. Not going to do it. But yeah, no, you're right. They just weren't competitive.
Yeah.
So, I'm not saying, hey, I'll take a 8-game losing streak if all the games are, you know, 3- and 4-point losses. No, that's not. But to your point, that this is a team that if they can be competitive, show fight, and, you know, find a way to get into the playoffs, 9-7, 10-6, even if it doesn't go any farther than that in the playoffs, I think people would be okay with it because it would represent, because you wouldn't be doing it with the same old cast of characters. New quarterback, bunch of young players that you've drafted, some guys that you drafted 2 years ago, that in order to get to that point and in order to be able to compete that way, these young players would be making huge contributions. Your quarterback would be making huge contributions, and there would be a sense that, okay, we've stopped the bleeding, we reversed the decline that we've been in over the last 2+ years. Now this thing is swinging back the other way, and we can get back very soon to be thinking about in terms of Super Bowl or bust. But to just say, nope, it's always been Super Bowl or bust around here, and it's got to be Super Bowl or bust again this year.
Right.
Then you're setting yourself up for disappointment and not enjoying the ride. Enjoy the ride.
I would be like, you're coming in the last game of the season, and you have a chance, win and you're in, lose and you're out. That's compelling. Like, I would be, you've been competitive all year. You got a chance to be like 9-7, 10-6 if you win it, you know, or 9-7, 8-8 if you lose it. And you're right there, man. I mean, you're hunkered down and it's a chance to be in the playoffs. You're still in the playoff picture, the week 17. That to me would be like what great strides this team has made based upon 5-11 and multiple blowouts last year. I'd be totally down with that.
On our text line, ramoslaw.com, text line 303-713-1043, the organization lowered the expectations as soon as they hired Vance and only reaffirmed them by keeping him after the Broncos were the worst team in the league.
That was very nice.
It wasn't very nice.
So they hired a first-time head coach, and that lowered the expectations? Something tells me if they had hired a first-year head coach in Kyle Shanahan, I wouldn't be getting a text like that. In fact, something tells me if they had hired Kyle Shanahan and still went 5-11, there'd be a sense of optimism surrounding who the coach was.
I think.
And yet, Kyle Shanahan was, what, 0-10 to start the season?
They won the last six. Yeah, there would be.
They won their last five. I think they were 0-10, 1-1, and then they won their last five. 1-1, lost one. 0-9, something like that. They weren't good.
Yeah, they weren't good. But I will say this. Like, one thing about the difference, Kyle Shanahan obviously has a history here because of Mike Shanahan, more so than, you know, Vance Joseph at CU and so I think that would be, you know, kind of a reason for optimism. I think the other thing is, you know, Kyle Shanahan was a big time, like 9 years as a coordinator in this league with the number one offense in Atlanta. With, you know what I mean? I mean, he was a coordinator in Cleveland. He was a coordinator with the Washington Redskins, and he mixed two offenses together. And like, he has a track record. Vance Joseph was a D coordinator in a terrible defense in Miami
for one year. All right. Then did John Elway make a mistake? Kyle Shanahan wanted the job. He wanted to come here. Broncos.
You know what? That's too bad.
We're never really in. Never interested. It was Vance Joseph from day one.
How interested do you think Kyle really was? Because Kyle and John Lynch put a package together. Like, they wanted to work together. And San Francisco gave them that opportunity. Like, no head coach, no GM. They brought them in together. It's not like if Kyle came here, he was dumping John Elway for John Lynch. So I don't know how legitimate Kyle Shanahan coming to Denver really was.
But the Broncos didn't go to great lengths to try to woo him.
No. I agree.
Here comes four down territory. Jameis Winston is at a crossroads, right?
Mm-hmm.
He needs help.
Yes.
He needs a mentor.
Yes.
Wait until you hear who wants to step in and mentor Jameis Winston. I don't know if this is such a good idea. That's next.
I want Mason Royal.
This is four down territory.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Pound it, launch it, and bring the funk.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. You just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
If I was picking right now, I'd probably go with Green Bay versus Jacksonville. I think that would be just a tentative, rough guess here in the summer months.
Tony Romo, with his early Super Bowl prediction of Jacksonville and Green Bay. All right, Mark, if you had to make a Super Bowl prediction here on July 12th, what would it be?
Well, I mean, how can you go against Tony Romo? I mean, considering all the Super Bowls that guy won.
All right, let's now. This isn't wedge driving. This is me just looking out for you, big fella. Do I sense the little green ring of envy over your head here? Tony Romo straight off the playing field, right into the number one broadcasting job at CBS.
No, I'm saying.
Well, you've been putting in your time for the last 18 years working and grinding.
No, not at all. No animosity there whatsoever.
Okay. All right. Man, you want to run that?
Sarcasm. Yeah. Sarcasm. All right. Sarcasm.
What would my Super Bowl pick be?
Yeah, give me it.
Man, it's hard for me to go against the world's greatest American.
Yeah, I knew you'd do that.
I love Tom Brady.
And in the NFC?
New Orleans.
New Orleans? I did not see that one coming.
New Orleans Saints.
Huh? Right now, if I had to call my shot, I think I would go Rams-Jaguars. I agree with Romo about the Jags.
You're such a kiss-up.
Hi, Tony Romo. I love you on CBS. You're the greatest. Remember when you called that Broncos game? It was so good.
You're making me sick.
I love it how
Tony Romo.
I love it how you come on right before the play is going to be run, and you say they're going to do this, and then they're going to do that, and guess what? They do it!
Man, oh man, Tony Romo.
And then Jim Nance gets to say, Tony, you're right again.
Man, oh man, Tony, all those back surgeries and all those injuries. Boy, it looks really stiff. Why don't I rub your back while you're calling the game? I'm Mike Evans.
Make me sick. Okay. I guess I was way off with this whole jealousy thing. Next on Four Down Territory.
Second down. He's doing things right, then a bump in the road. He's doing something right, then a bump in the road. Man, just continue to fight. It happens. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know, what he did was wrong. You know, I'm not sitting up here and saying right or wrong. There was a woman involved, so I'm not going to get into all that. What he did was wrong. He knew it was wrong. So I think it's up for him as a man to understand what he did wrong, live and learn from it, and let it go.
Jameis Winston needs a mentor, and that man right there, Randy Moss, wants to do it. How would you feel about... if you're somebody that worries about Jameis Winston, having Randy Moss take him under his wing?
Yeah, you know, probably.
I'll take that as no.
Well, listen, here's what bothers me about that statement. It was a bump in a road. It's a mistake. Dude, that's sexual assault. It's not a bump in the road. It's not a speeding ticket. That's sexual assault. it's just a mistake. No, it's not. It's not just a mistake. At no point is it ever okay, whether you're drinking or not, to reach into somebody's crotch and grab it. Like, it's just a mistake. Like we, I don't know, man. That's a problem. That's a huge character flaw. And so, you know, the fact that he refers to it as, hey, it was a bump in the road. Do I want that guy mentoring? No. I want somebody that's going to hold Jameis Winston accountable and say, hey, moron.
But
why do you not have respect for people?
Okay. Okay, poor choice of words by Randy Moss, but you got to spend time around him during your days at ESPN. Is not really
no,
that much?
No,
because he was
no.
only doing the Monday Night
well,
stuff?
Well, because he's a celebrity and he was big time, and they don't put me in the same category. Wow, you're just hurting
wow.
me. You're just really like rubbing
at
salt
first,
in my wounds.
At first, you know... Folks, I'll be
remember
honest.
All that time you folks, did those shows with Randy Moss? No, that was
folks.
They
I'll be honest.
I was never invited to be in the
I
same room.
I started out just with the honest intent of just kind of having a little fun with Mark and being jealous of Tony Romo.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm actually starting to really feel bad for Mark.
Yeah, you're just kind of like being a jerk, is what you're doing. You know that there's some hurt there. There's a little bit of pain.
Mm.
Kind of rubbing some salt in the wounds.
Yeah, well, yes.
That's like the guy who says, hey, man, you're still pretty big. Like you know, the guy says, hey, you still look like you could play. And that just means I'm fat. Like, you still look like you can play is just a nice way of saying, hey, you're really fat.
Who knew? Mark Schlereth bleeds like we all do. If you hurt him, he'll
bleed.
We
got a bleeder!
Next in Four Down Territory.
Third down.
Snap. McCoy waits patiently, driving up the middle. Shady's going to score. Shady's going to score. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! The Bills win it in overtime. LeSean McCoy from 21 yards out.
Bills radio. So LeSean McCoy has hired a prominent Atlanta defense attorney amid this police investigation into a home invasion that sent his former girlfriend to the hospital after she was allegedly beaten and robbed of jewelry. Now... what do you make of him hiring a lawyer? Does it speak to anything in your mind? Also, you know, what is the NFL to do with LeSean McCoy? They actually have, and I think this is actually a really good tool to have at their disposal. They have what's called the exempt list, the commissioner's exempt list. You could be placed on it while you are being investigated by the league and police. So this is a way for him to sort of be put on the sidelines without having to really come out and make a firm declaration, if you're the NFL, about what you're going to do with LeSean McCoy. It's just like, right. Hey, you go over there on this exempt list, while this thing gets sorted out.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, that to me, like, he hired the attorney. That's fine. You can hire an attorney. You know, people have put it out on social media. People in her group have accused you of beating dogs, beating your own kid, and then beating her up. So, and those tweets or those Instagram posts were taken down, but you got to protect yourself. And to put a guy on an exempt list for an accusatory statement is not, like, that shouldn't, you shouldn't, that shouldn't be part of the equation either. But obviously it's going to get investigated. It's being investigated by the police right now. It's going to be investigated by the National Football League, and they don't have to, whatever the league finds, it doesn't have to match what the police find. They do their own investigation, and they can suspend you or do whatever they want from that, you know, from the evidence that they find.
But if you're somebody that believes in due process and you don't want to see the league just come out and suspend this guy, isn't this the best alternative? He can't practice or play. He just goes away for a while this thing is being figured out.
Yeah, but
you're not suspending him. You're not, you know, making any declarative statement if you're the NFL on LeSean McCoy. But in the meantime, you're doing something that needs to be done, because no one, while this thing is still hovering out there and those pictures are still out there, wants to see LeSean McCoy running around having a good time on the football field.
No, but I mean, you can't just say, hey, go away for a while we sort it out, if somebody just made a false accusation either. That's to me, that's not fair. Now, if you get some evidence and you're like, hey, listen, the evidence we have so far looks like, you know what, something shady went on here, no pun intended, then you want to put them on the exempt list until you collect the rest of the evidence. But if you already are finding things, then that's probably a different story.
By the way, one of his former Bills teammates came to his defense.
Yeah, I don't know that you want this guy defending you.
This guy ripped the alleged victim, said she's been living, quote, a fake lifestyle. How would you feel if you were in these kind of situations and Richie Incognito is stepping up as a character witness for you?
Yeah, the voice of reason. Yeah. I think I would like to punt.
It's third and long, so we're gonna bring in Marquette King.
Punters are just as important as other positions.
Third and long, we're gonna punt, and I'm going to console Mark, who seems a little.
It was just kind of the whole. I don't know.
I think the big man.
He's just been kind of a little hurtful.
Big man needs a hug during the break. Big man needs a hug.
I'll be all right.
ESPN's been doing a fun thing throughout the course of the week. Which players, which teams are going to have the biggest impact in each division? AFC West will recap what was said, including who will be the MVP of the AFC West this season. That's next. So throughout the week, we've mentioned what ESPN has been doing. Just, you know, kind of a fun middle of the summer, carrying us over until camps open. They've had a different topic every week in which they go division by division. And the topics included who's the best newcomer in the division. Best newcomer for the AFC West. The one that got the most votes. Who would you think? Best newcomer in the AFC West.
Who got the most votes?
Who got the most votes? Best newcomer.
Jump.
Could be a draft pick. Could be a free agent. Trade. What do you think? It's not Bradley Chubb.
No, it probably should be, but it's not. It is
a Bronco.
The best newcomer in the AFC West.
Yep, you were probably thinking Mahomes, right?
I was.
Nope.
The thing I like the most about Case is he's got big balls.
Case Keenum,
best newcomer.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep.
Is that a statement on the quarterbacks that were here and the one that's still currently here is the backup?
I think so.
I mean, there's several different ways you read that, right? There's one way to read that is that, hey, everybody's really excited about Case Keenum. The other way to read that is nobody believes in Paxton Lynch.
And maybe not many people believe yet in Patrick Mahomes.
Good.
Or is that yeah, no, we've got the proper read on Mahomes. He's not going to be the best newcomer to the division, but the Chiefs are still good enough that they can still win with him.
Yeah, there's a lot about Patrick Mahomes that like piques my curiosity. And one of the things is how the general population and even guys that write like for ESPN.com and the reporters who follow their teams, how it just feels like a foregone conclusion that, we got rid of Alex Smith. That was he was pressed against the glass ceiling. Like that was what as a football team is holding us back. Now that we have Patrick Mahomes, like the sky's the limit. Like this guy is going to take us to the next level.
Well, but you can understand that because you're looking at it from the outside, looking in at the Chiefs going, well, wait a minute. They had a pretty good football team. They've been winning a lot of football games. Just keep them away from the playoffs. But they've been winning a lot of football games with Alex Smith. So the fact that they were willing to part with Alex Smith to clear the way for Patrick Mahomes, they must know something. You know, I think that's the mentality that's out there, that it's not that people are really sold on Mahomes, but maybe the Chiefs are being given enough credit that they've decided to go in this direction that, wow, they must know something about this kid.
Isn't that interesting? You think you know. You feel like you know. But how much do you really know?
Ooh.
Right? How much do you
That's
really...
deep.
Right? How much do you really know until you're in it? You played in one game. The guys played in one game. There's just a real...
Well, that's going on in other places, too. I mean, look at San Francisco. Look at the contract Jimmy Garoppolo got on a body of work that is less than 10 games.
Have you looked at him, though? I'm telling you what. And I did the interview process.
I just see
process.
Mark and Jimmy Garoppolo in a boat in Venice. Sitting together having a picnic.
He walked in the room and it was like... angel singing.
Oh, jeez.
That man is beautiful. I'm not even going to lie to you. Like, there's very few times when somebody walks into the room and I think, you know.
He's handsomer than me?
Yeah, there's like, I'm like, whew.
But in this case.
That dude is handsome.
Okay. So, moving right along. Who is the rising star in the division was one of the questions that they did. And the
rising
consensus,
star.
The consensus, rising star. Somebody who has given us glimpses of future sustained stardom.
Okay.
And they came up with?
Kareem Hunt.
Kareem Hunt. From?
Toledo.
Yep.
That one makes sense to me. That makes sense. He did it for 1 year. He seems to have sustainability. He seems to be a rising star.
I am confident that 1 year from now, when we're having this debate, it'll be Bradley Chubb.
Give me one Chubb. One Chubb only.
Bradley Chubb.
Their other question this week was, who is on the hottest seat in the division?
I'm not sure.
One guess. Who is on the hottest seat?
Was that a unanimous pick?
In the AFC West.
Unanimous?
Unanimous.
Vance Joseph.
It's mind-boggling.
It is mind-boggling. That seat is hot, though.
But, okay. But riddle me this. Everyone's like, well, Vance Joseph, he's on the hot seat. Vegas odds has him as one of the top two or three coaches likely to be fired first. Okay, if Vance Joseph were to be fired early on in the season, who would you replace him with on this staff? Who is the guy that if you're firing Vance Joseph early because you're trying to salvage your season, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking to go in a different direction. And you know that there's going to be a certain amount of upheaval for that entire coaching staff.
You know what? That's too bad.
Who is it? Who is on this staff right now that if you fire Vance Joseph in the first 6-7 games of the season that you turn to?
Wow.
To salvage the season. Who is it? Gary is it Bill Musgrave?
Gary Kubiak?
Huh? Is that what you're saying? Is that if that were to be the case, John would once again turn to his buddy and say, I need you.
I need you, said Brad. Like the fire needs the, you know, I need you.
Stop singing!
La, ta, 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 ta. Is that a Brad song? You know I need you.
Who cares?
Look that up for me, Ben, will you? I need you.
How about new?
Come on, Ben, don't. This is... All right.
But who would it be? Is it Bill Musgrave? Is it Joe Woods? No. They don't have a real veteran, you know, Eric Studisville type on the coaching staff right now.
Mm.
Everybody says, oh, I can't wait for Vance Joseph to be fired. Vance Joseph is on the hot seat. Vance Joseph has this many games to prove that he's the guy. Okay, then who do you replace him with? And is it Gary Kubiak?
I think it would be, you would ask, you'd lean on your buddy, America.
Again. Oh, America's the band.
America's the okay. band. America.
And they sang what?
Need ya. Let's see. Just...
You really think Gary Kubiak would come back out of the...
Like the flower needs the rain, you know I need ya. Yeah, America. You know they were on a base in England? America was? They were like military kids. Put a band together.
No kidding.
From England, yeah.
So they're not from America?
No, they're American kids.
Oh, they're American
but
kids
they
who were growing up
formed,
there.
Yeah, they formed their
band.
They're like
band. Army brats or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Army brats okay. in a thing and they named themselves America.
That's great.
I need ya. I think you would call on Gary. On the kick drum. Come, come.
Oh, boy. You are in full.
And Gary, on the kick drum. Come, come. Come. On the kick drum. Come, come. That's Gary. Come, come with the kick drum. Come. Come, come with the kick drum. Gary.
Well, I don't know why that entertains me so much. I really don't know why.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I think you would call
we are into punchy Showtime, show pony, vacationitis, Mark Schlereth here. Here we go.
I think they would call... I think John would call upon Gary if that.
But Gary
were
doesn't want to coach anymore. I thought. Wasn't that why Gary stepped down? Mark was because health reasons, and he didn't want to be a coach anymore.
Yeah.
So why would he step back into this situation with the understanding that okay, Gary, we need you to save the season. We need you to come riding to the rescue, Gary. We need you have you throw yourself back into 16-hour workdays, Gary, because this thing is still salvageable, but it's going the wrong way right now.
Mm.
So ride to the rescue, Gary.
You don't think that Gary could muster that energy for the last 7 games of the season? I mean, how many games?
I don't think Gary would want it to look like he was just waiting in the wings, circling like a vulture waiting to swoop down on Vance Joseph's carcass, coaching carcass.
I don't think so. I don't think so easy. Vance worked for Gary in Houston. So I don't think he would want that either. But I think if John Elway said, dude, I need you. Like the flower needs the rain, you know, I need you.
Again, it would have this sense. It would look like it was the plan all along. Now, I could see why John would want to do it that way and have that in reserve. I just don't know. I think you know Gary, but I just don't think Gary would like the look of that.
What if it was Bill Kolar? He's probably the most tenured coach mm-hmm. on the staff, right? The guy has got all kinds of... I mean, he... Not
but, that- it, but do you want to... So what you're saying is that you still believe this team can be competitive. But if you think you have a competitive team You brought back a coach that you had to sleep on, by the way, to bring back this guy as a coach. And you're doing so with the idea that he's on such a hot seat that he could be gone in the first quarter, six games of the season, and all you have in reserve to replace him to save your competitive season is a classic interim coach?
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Who's never been head coach before? Right. That's your strategy.
Good luck with that.
Well, you're,
which makes me, which
but
makes,
you don't ever go in planning on firing. I mean, you're not going in there going,
really? Wait a minute. If you tell everybody and have admitted to everybody that you had to sleep on it before you decided to bring back Vance Joseph, that tells me that it's pretty tenuous.
Can we go back to singing America songs? Not really comfortable with this conversation. Yeah, you're probably right.
Well, I think what I'm getting at is that Vance Joseph may be more secure than you think for this year. That he's not on that slippery of a slope. I mean, sure, they start out 0-6 or something like that. Yeah, anybody's going to be
right.
in trouble. But the lack of real options to replace him internally,
mm-hmm.
unless it's Gary Kubiak, and I don't think Gary would want to be in that kind of a role, makes me think that Vance is a little bit more solid for this season than you may think. Now, after the season, anything goes, of course, because then
right.
you can broaden your search and you can start all over if you want to. But I'm talking about in season. I think he may be a little bit more secure than you think.
Even though he may be more secure than you think, he's still on the hottest of hot seats in this division. Anthony Lynn is not on a hot seat right now with the Chargers. Then you've got to look at Andy Reid, Kansas City, John Gruden. They just gave him a 10-year, $100 million deal. So when it comes to hottest of hot seats, there's no question that it's Vance Joseph.